Been preaching through the book of Revelation. We're taking it pretty slow. Hope you live long enough to hear the whole thing. And actually, we're going to skip a few weeks. Gary Varvel will be here next week. And one of the reasons I wanted Gary Varvel to come was because this whole past summer, every day, he had some amazing history, prophecy about the nation of Israel. You know, what's going on in Israel and with the war against Hamas and Hezbollah and all that stuff going on over there. And he has some really great insights. He's a great cartoonist. He'll be drawing some here for us. You're amazed how quick and great he is. And again, he is a tremendous man of God, a great, great Christian. For a Christmas Eve service, Larry McAdams is going to speak for us, and we're looking forward to that. We'll have some candles lit, sing a few carols. He'll have a message for us, so I hope you can be here for that. This is the season of gift giving, and I read an interesting story about a lady who, she was an older lady, but she had had three sons, and these three sons all went out into the world, and they all did real well, and they wanted to do something very special for their mother. So they got together and decided what to do. So the first one bought his mother a big, beautiful home, and I mean a gorgeous home. And the second one bought his mother a beautiful automobile with all the bells and whistles. And the third one, though, came up with a great idea. His mother's eyesight was failing, and so he found this parrot that could recite the entire Bible. You know this is not true. I'm just making all this up here, so go on. Don't get too caught up in this. So she wrote him a letter, and she wrote the first son who gave her this beautiful home. She said, "Oh, son, thank you so much. It's a beautiful home. It's just way too big. I just wander around in here and get lost." And to the son that gave her this beautiful car, she said, "Oh, son, thank you for this wonderful car. It's got so many bells and whistles. I can't even figure out half the things it's supposed to do." She wrote to the third son, and she said, "Oh, son, your gift was perfect. The bird was delicious." She ate the parrot. Oh, well. We are in Revelation chapter 5. Last week we looked at chapter 4. Chapters 4 and 5 actually have the same theme. It's about worship in heaven. John, who was in prison on the Isle of Patmos, had a special messenger appeared to him. Jesus had appeared to him, and he told him to write these things down about the present time, about the future. And he writes about Jesus, who Jesus is. Jesus isn't just a Mr. Rogers figure. He's more like a John Wayne figure. He is he's not a figure with a little lamb on his shoulder or child on his lap. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the great I am. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then in chapters 2 and 3, he writes letters. Jesus speaks to the seven churches in Asia Minor. These were all literal churches. These areas still exist today. Some of them are mostly ruins, but Western modern-day Turkey. Four of them are right along the shores of the sea there, the Adriatic Sea, and some of them are then inland. But he writes to each of these churches. Five of them he told to repent, and that's probably pretty typical today. Probably five churches need to repent. But remember, when he's talking to the church, he's talking to individuals. He's talking to us. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. Well, last week's message taught us several things, and I only got into one of them, and I'll just touch on them very briefly. First of all, we found out last week, and we talked quite a bit about this, worship centers us. No matter how bad your life is, no matter how great your grief is, no matter how trying things are financially, relationships, job-wise, family relationships, no matter what's going on in this world, and there's a lot of bad things going on in this world, God still reigns. He is on the throne. And no matter what goes on, He's in control. We may not like what's going on. We may hope and pray for a better day. And ultimately, there will be for those of us who trust in Him who reigns supreme. So worship centers us. It kind of balances things out. When things are really bad, we know God is on the throne. When things are going great, then we also know that things are going to be right going forward. And then worship also unites us. This is an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about this much, but the scriptures say, and we get a picture of this in this chapter, Revelation 5, the scriptures say that all creation will worship Him. Psalm 96:13 says that. All creation will worship Him. Think about what we talked about in Philippians in chapter 2. It says, someday every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That means every creature. And this text back in Psalm says that every creature on earth and under the earth and under the sea, every creature will worship God. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I don't know if that means animals. He says every creature will worship God. All creation. When sin entered the world, it ruined the relationship that God had with His creation. But that's going to be restored. And someday, every creature will worship God. Every knee will bow. And then worship heartens us. It heartens us. It encourages us. In worship, we see God's sacrificial love for us in Jesus. So worship heartens us. When we come here to worship Him, we see the cross. We see these emblems of His broken body and shed blood. We are heartened by His sacrifice, by His love, by His amazing grace, by all that He has done for us. So what is worship? Worship is ascribing worth to something or someone. When we worship, we ascribe worth to it. When we come here, we come here to worship. In the very back of my Bible, I wrote down something several years ago, and I kind of forgotten about it. In fact, it's on the last page where Revelation ends, and I wrote these things down. I was evidently preaching about a new building program we were going through, and I say, we don't need new buildings or more programs. We need more and better worship. We must prepare to worship. Not out too late Saturday night. Get organized Saturday evening. Come expecting to worship. Don't just show up. Focus on it. Feature. Make it a feature of why you are here. Not just out of duty, not just out of fellowship, as good as those things are, but come expecting to worship. And then participate. When we pray, we pray. Follow the prayers of others. When we sing, we sing. When we follow in God's word, we are participating in worship. And then this is the thing that really struck me about this. Know your real role. What is your role? Well, you're not the audience. I'm not the audience. God is the audience. We are the participants. We are the performers, as it were. And what's our duty? To worship. The people up front are just prompters. We're not the stars. We're not the ones you're looking to. God is the audience. He is watching us. We are the performers. And so I think we need to keep that in mind. And then clear back in the back of the Bible, I wrote something down one time that I thought was kind of interesting about worship. I mentioned this last week just a little bit. Worship isn't passive. I can't worship for you. You can't worship for me. And I've said, I think any more than I can't eat for you, although I'd like to try. And then the praise and worship, there are various ways that we can worship. These are physical ways, as it were. And here's 10 ways, very quickly. There's laughter. Laughter is a part of worship, according to Psalm 126, 2. These are all scriptures. I won't give them all to you. Singing is worship. Bent knee, bowed head, clapping hands, shouting voice, uplifted hands, grounded face, dancing feet, uplifted head. Those are all forms of worship. Now, you don't have to do all of those, and you can do any of those that you want. We don't look down on people that raise their hands in worship. We applaud that. We applaud sometimes in worship. We say amen in worship. Sometimes we bow our heads in worship. I was looking at these as 10 things. One of them is dancing feet. I've never danced in worship, but I've squirmed in elders' meetings quite a bit over the years. But you know how that is, don't you, Larry? And but it's true. There's different ways to worship. Well, let's look at this text, and I'll go through it fairly quick and then come back and just look at the outline. And it's, again, in Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to comment on this just briefly as I go through it, and then we'll go back and look at the outline. Worship the Worthy One. That's the title of this. It's about the scroll and the Lamb. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, that's obviously God, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. These scrolls were used for deeds and for wills. This was a Roman thing, and it was very important. And these seals, of course, were the way that these things were guarded. And we'll look at seals and vials and different things as we get on into the book of Revelation going forward. But John saw these. He said, I saw this mighty angel, we don't know who that angel is, he's not identified, proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or in earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. So he said, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, there were 24 elders around the throne, do not weep, do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. This is a picture of this. This picture belongs to Jerry Johnson. It was in office. I was given over at his place, Patriot Products, there in Franklin. And it's got that text that we just read right here. Isn't that a great picture, the lion and the lamb? I wish I had painted that picture or have even thought of that picture. I mean, that's an amazing picture. And he's had it in the hallway there at his business, and then it was in the office I was using for just a little bit. But it's an amazing thing. Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we'll talk about who that is in a moment. The Root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the 7 seals. Then I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain. Probably could see the scars on this Lamb, standing in the center of the throne. But even though it looks like he's been slain, he's still alive. He's still alive. He's encircled by 4 living creatures and elders. If you study the book of Revelation very long, you get this picture of circles. Even the rainbow is not an arc, it's a circle. Kind of interesting, isn't it? These connecting, contrasting circles. He said, I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. We know who that is, don't we? Jesus. Encircled by the 4 living creatures. There's another circle. And the elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes. Horns stand for strength. Eyes, of course, mean that nothing escapes God's sight, which are seven spirits of God. These seven spirits, I'll talk about them too in just a few minutes. It means the perfect presence of God. It means the perfect wisdom of God. It means the perfect power of God. And our God is omniscient. That means he's all-seeing. He is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. That means he is everywhere present. You know, the devil has a lot of power, but he's not omnipresent. Kind of seems like he is when we turn on the news, but he is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere, but he has a lot of help, doesn't he? So he has these seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and we'll talk more about that when we get on into this book, which are the seven spirits God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Who are they worshiping? They're worshiping the Lamb. He is the one who is worthy. Worship the worthy one. That's our command. That's what the scriptures say. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Boy, I love it when Revelation tells us what it was. Real quick. You don't have to guess or wonder. The prayers of the saints, the incense, and they sang a new song. And there are several scriptures about new songs through the scriptures, and we'll talk about those maybe at some point. But you are worthy, here's the new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. And we'll talk about all these seals going forward. Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. Wow, what a statement. With your blood, talking to Jesus, the Lamb, with your blood, you purchased people for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. I think it's 1 Peter 2:7, somewhere in that area, where it says, we are a royal priesthood. As priests and kings, we have access. Remember in the Old Testament, only the priest could go into the temple. Only a priest could go in, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and only he once a year. But as Christians, as priests and kings, we have access to the very throne of God himself. And they will reign on earth. And then it's one of my favorite passages. And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. Wow, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. You know what he's saying? Can't be counted. It's like the sand on the seashore. You cannot count the number of angels. It's beyond calculation. Thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircle the throne. There's the circle again. And the living creatures and the elders. And they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Let's all say that together. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Praise forever and ever. The four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell face down and worshiped. All right, let's look at this outline very quickly. I promise I'll get you out of here before 1 o'clock. Worship the worthy one because of who he is. Worship the worthy one because of who he is. Now this is in verses 5-7. He is, there's three titles here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. If you go back in Genesis, clear back to Genesis 49, listen to these verses. This starts in about verse 8. Judah, this is Jacob. He's called his sons together, and he's prophesying their future. And this future isn't just about their lives. It's about time to come. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be upon your the neck of your enemies. In other words, you're going to be a ruler. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's club. Excuse me, a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son, like a lion. He crouches and lies down like a lioness who dares to raise him. The scepter, that's the rule, will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. That means total authority. That's what that means. Until he comes to whom it belongs. King James says, or until Shiloh comes. That means the one to whom tribute belongs. And the obedience of the nations is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine. What's that remind you of? Palm Sunday, doesn't it? He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. So this goes back. This lion of the tribe of Judah. It goes clear back to being the Judah was the kingly tribe. There was David. He belonged to the tribe of Judah. There was Solomon, his son. He belonged to the tribe of Judah. And there's Jesus, who belongs to the tribe of Judah. This is the kingly tribe. Then there's the root of David, it says. This is the same thing. This is the kingly line. You know, as we celebrate Christmas, we say Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Why? Because he was of the lineage, the line of David, the city of David, Bethlehem. Remember that this Christmas. And then there's the Lamb. Genesis 22:7, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one that just boggles my mind, but one that pleased God so much that we are saved by faith. Abraham was told to take his son, his only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him, kill him. Took him up onto this mountain, and Isaac looked around and he said, "Well, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" You know what? You know what Abraham said? God will provide. 28 times in the book of Revelation, the word lamb is mentioned. The seven spirits again mean perfect presence, perfect wisdom with eyes, perfect power with horns, with horns. Moving on very quickly. Worship the worthy one because of where he is. Where do we worship the worthy one? Because of where he is. Jesus is in heaven. You say, well, duh. Yeah, he is in heaven. But listen, he's not in a manger. He's not on a cross. He ascended back into heaven. Jesus is in heaven. He is on the throne. Remember we said the word throne is mentioned over 40 times in the book of Revelation, 11 times just in chapter 4.
We don't worship a prophet. We don't worship a fisherman. We don't worship a carpenter. We don't worship a baby in a manger. We don't worship a corpse on a cross.
We worship the living, reigning Lamb of God. And he is in the midst of heaven. He is there. Where is he? He's in heaven. And we worship the worthy one because of what he does. What he does. What's he do? Well, he took the scroll and he opened it. The weeping stopped. The Lamb took this scroll and he opened the seals, which lead to his glory and ultimately to our salvation. A lamb, back in the beginning of the scriptures and time, was offered first for one individual, Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden. Each had to make a sacrifice. We know Cain's did not please God. Abel's did, but Cain took his life. It was one lamb for one person, an individual. Then when the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage in Egypt, God said, take a lamb and put the blood around the door, and it will be for the salvation of the family. And then when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, God had them erect this tabernacle, this tent. And once a year, God was there in the Holy of Holies. The high priest would offer a sacrificial lamb. He would set one free. That was called the scapegoat out into the wilderness. And the sins of the people were pushed back. They were saved, as it were, on credit. Their sins were just pushed back a year after year after year, one time a year. So it was a sacrifice, first of all, one lamb for one person, one lamb for one family, one lamb for this nation. And finally, we know what Jesus did, don't we? What did John say when he saw Jesus walking by the Jordan River one day? "Look, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of not an individual, not a family, not a nation, but the sin of the world." Praise God. Praise God. Well, I've got one more thing. It's not on the screen, but I just thought of this. We praise Him. We worship the Worthy One because of what He has, what He has. And this is kind of hinted at in verses 11 through 14. He was born in weakness. He died in weakness. But He received all power. That's what He has, all power. He became poor for us. Yet He owns all the riches of the world. All the gold in Fort Knox and all the diamonds in Africa don't begin to touch His wealth. He became poor for us. He was mocked, ridiculed, yet He is the very wisdom of God. He became a curse for us. The curse is what? Death. He took our place of eternal death. And even after we die physically, we have this promise of eternal life. So, worship Him. Worship Him. He's the Worthy One. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for this reminder of why we worship and who we are to worship. We're not to worship things. We're not to worship other people. We're not to worship certainly government or celebrities or wealth. We are to worship the Lamb. The Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb, the Lion, Father, became a lamb and died for us. What power, what strength, what humility, what sacrifice. Father, bless the time of invitation now. If there's anyone here outside of Christ, this would be a great time to confess His name before others. Just thank You, Father, for this reminder of who You are and what You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this hymn, "I Surrender All"?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. Blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Take me, Jesus, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
for being here. Remember, we have this dinner next door. Even if you didn't sign up, we always have plenty of food, so we'd love to have you. Visit with some folks you don't know. Get acquainted. I know I'm just saying that. It doesn't mean one thing. It's like telling my kid to behave. But it would be nice if we kind of get acquainted with some different folks. That's a good thing. So, Fred, are you going to do our benediction for us, brother? Or? All right, you got the microphone, so you look ready.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, Lord. We just thank you for the message today, Brother Shan. We just thank for everyone. We just bless that your birth is coming up, Lord. We just praise you. We just thank you for this meal we're about to partake, Lord. We just ask you to put this food in the nourish of our bodies, and we just praise you and bless you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. God be with you.
Be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
The meal is ready. Pork chop.